This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
People seen it, but they just don't know. People seen it, but they just don't know. People seen it, but they just don't know.
All right, this is going to be episode number 2 of my mom's favorite podcast. Thanks for whatever you had to do, probably illegally, to get this downloaded or stole somebody's phone. I appreciate the effort. It's always nice. Tonight's guest is going to be Devin Alexander. He's another comedian. He's been to New York, L.A. He's in Tampa right now, so I just wanted to get him before he takes off back to New York. Danny Figueroa is going to be stopping by in the podcast to promote a show that we'll be talking about relentlessly throughout this. We got coming up next week for charity because we're good people. I feel like I just said all of that really fast. My producer, Will Koontz, is here ready to do this, and I think he's completely ignoring me at this point. But we're going to have some fun tonight, so thanks for tuning in, and let's get ready for the show. Here we go.
This song, no, and then they get, like, I got a couple other ones on my Spotify. It's just a lot of, like, it's really fun music.
It sounds like it. It sounds really happy.
I do. I like happy, upbeat music. Yeah. I smoke entirely too much weed to listen to depressing music.
I don't know, man. Eminem's one of my favorite rappers, and he's pretty pretty in his emotions.
I don't know. Like, that is one of the reasons I love him, is because he can convey so much emotion in a song.
Right.
But I think when my absolute favorite is when he's just putting together whatever random words he wants to make them fit, and just being silly on a song.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the documentary, The Art of Rap?
No. I want to, though, immediately as he said that.
Ice-T produced it, and he narrates it and travels around and goes and sees, like, all these well-known hip-hop artists
right. And
MCs, and he gets to Eminem. And the way Eminem describes how he goes into his, like, writing and, like, rapping,
yeah. He
describes it like puzzle pieces. And he says he tries to, like, sandwich words in between words that rhyme with words that are outside of those words. It's so fucking intricate and weird. It's so fascinating to me because, like, I mean, I'm a writer myself. I started writing poetry when I was, like, 7, which is strange.
What are you, queer? Sorry, I had to be done.
Just very in tune with the emotions.
I wrote a poetry, too. I wasn't 7. Well, I don't think I was 7. I want to say, like, 7th grade, so however old you are, 12, 13.
7th grade, yeah, that's, like, around there.
Yeah. I had this book of poems that I had from 7th grade until I was, like, 22. Went to jail and asked my baby's mom to get all my shit out of my old house, like, while I was in jail, because I wasn't going to be living there when I got out.
Right.
She found a pair of my ex-girlfriend's, well, like, 3 pairs of my other ex-girlfriend's panties, and was just like, nope. And, like, left half my shit there.
I mean, were they old or were they new?
They were old.
Oh, I mean, why is she mad about that? They were just tossed away. You forgot to throw them away.
She always still wanted to get back with me at the time. Now she doesn't. Now she's completely given up. She's just like, no, you're a piece of shit. But so, all right, so you're, sorry, Eminem rap, poetry, 7th grader in touch with his emotions.
So, yeah, I mean, I can appreciate how he puts his words together. I think he's really fucking awesome. I have a really funny story about how I've, like, listened to Eminem, how I got into him. What was the first song he released? His first single, My Name Is? Hi,
yeah.
My Name Is. Right? You hear that on the television, and you're like, oh, shit, as a 7-year-old. I think it came out in, like, 99, so I was, like, 6 or 7.
Holy shit, I just realized how much older than you I am. Fuck. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm young. I'm only 23, man.
I was like 19 or 20 when that song came out. I
92.
Had a kid.
I'm from the era of 92, representing the millennials.
I'm so old. How old are you, Will?
I'm going to be 31 on the 25th.
Jesus Christ. Hopefully Danny gets here soon. He's 28.
A bunch of OGs in here, yeah, man. Right. I feel like I'm in front of Godfathers.
Yeah, think Godfathers with absolutely no power influence whatsoever.
I see by the Michael Cera meme, zero fucks on the wall. Yeah, it's a nice piece.
That's my producer, Will Koontz's piece. Will Koontz of the Homemade Broadcast, by the way, for all my listeners who might not know, because we're on the Homemade Broadcast Network, so they should know, really.
They should. I'm pretty sure they do. If I were to cultivate a guess, I would say they know.
Did we not sit far enough away from you? Can I talk about that online? Are you okay with that?
No, you could talk about it.
Are you
fun.
Okay with talking about what we just did there?
Very much so.
Well, I know I'll have people on here, and I've had people on here that are like, somebody might listen. That's the wrong person to listen. So I understand. But no, I smoked some weed, and I think we might have smoked it a little too close to Will. Sometimes it gets a contact high when I come over.
It could. When you came over and did the Homemade Broadcast,
I
went for a jog. After that's how contact buzzed I was. I figured that would be a good idea.
Was it?
Nah. I tried to go the next day and it just wasn't the same. Yeah. But it was okay actually when I was doing it. But yeah, it didn't the fever didn't hit me, the runner's fever.
I've done that before, got high and ran, but like I don't run the whole time because I'm fat and out of shape. So like I'll jog and then walk, and then walk. And I wasn't paying attention. I just started going down the Pinellas Trail and went further than I'd ever been and just started watching, like, just looking at all the shit. Like, oh, I've never seen this neighborhood. Oh, look at the back of that house. And the next thing I know, I'm like, my phone beeps and it's like, time, 40 minutes, distance, 4 miles. I'm like, oh, fuck, I still got to go home. Like, this is so bad. Well, it wasn't like 4 miles. I think it was like 3. But then I'm like, fuck, I still got to go home. It's hot as balls. I don't have my water with me. I just got high and zoned out looking at new shit.
So you need one of those camel packs. You know what those are? They're like water bottle, like backpacks. Yeah. So like hipster and gay, but they're so worth it.
Well, I used to have one because I used to bike ride a lot.
See, they're worth it.
Yeah, they were worth it. But that was before the hipsters, before those bastard hipsters.
I like weed before I work out, but I have to kind of convince myself that it's helping me in a way, or otherwise I won't do it. Because I'll be like, especially if I go running, I'll have to convince that it somehow expands my lungs to be able to intake air much wider than I could as if I were sober. And it's just this stupidest logic.
I do that by eating weed brownies. Like I don't smoke. I'll eat like a piece of a weed brownie and then wait a little bit so that just as like, all right, it should kick in about 5-10 minutes, and then I'll go and do it. So like I'm already doing it when it hits, because otherwise I won't do shit. Like once a pot brownie hits, that's it. I'm done. It's a wrap.
Do you make them yourself or do you get them?
I make them.
Okay.
Yeah, I save up all my stemmies, and I'm one of those guys.
Oh, so they're not like too intensely strong, are they?
Oh, they are. I save up a lot and I like pack a lot in. Like I make vegetable oil out of it.
Man, when I was in LA, we got a hold of some edibles, and I don't know how they measure THC. On the bar, it just said 4 times dose. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's like 400 milligrams or it was 4 times dose. It was a big size chocolate bar. It was kind of like the size of a Hershey.
Well, yeah,
and I could barely eat corners of it. It fucked me up, and in the meantime we're smoking like hash rocks and flour as well, but it was too intense. I ended up just chopping it up and putting it in some trail mix and bringing it through LAX onto the plane back to Tampa.
I like how you said you're like you're very specific with the names when you're like edibles and hash rocks and all this, like you're using like the drug name that could get you in trouble, but when it came to the actual pot you're like, and flour, like a very pretty code name for it. It's flour. No, flour.
Everybody has their own odd code names for it. I'll say random shit. I'll say green, bud, you know.
The worst one is this old dude I know will sometimes talk to me about duck feet that he has. Or like he doesn't do it like in person, but if he calls me on the phone, he's like, hey, I've got some good duck food. And I was like, dude, how the fuck is that code? That sounds worse than what we're actually doing.
When I text my buddy, I'll try and come up with something quirky, and I'll just be like, so is Herbert around? Herbert.
We used to do Dan K. Dan K. Dank. Yeah. Yeah, we were clever.
That's so awesome. But
I wonder who's going to be listening to this podcast now.
Hopefully everybody.
I know last time, after we did the last one, I was at work, and this older guy that I work with, who is on my Facebook, saw me posting shit about it, so he liked it or whatever, and right. He didn't really know what a podcast was. He just listened to it, because he's like, oh, James is my friend, he makes me laugh at work. And he's like, I was listening to it for like 15 minutes, and all you guys had done was talk, nothing had happened, Chet. I just started dying laughing. I was like, dude, that's all a podcast is. Like,
talk radio.
Yeah. Like, I literally put in the descriptions, I'm like, just a couple assholes saying some asshole things for about an hour or so. Like,
I was surprised when, you know Michael, right? My buddy Mike. He works at the Improv. Bald beard.
Yeah.
We were doing Cake and Steak for a while, and I was surprised when people were actually coming up to me and saying, you guys haven't put out like an episode in a few months. Like, what's going on? I was like, you actually listen to that shit?
Yeah, so a couple people surprised me. They're like, I'm like, well, with Mike, I was like, you don't even know what a podcast is. No, you just talked. I'm like, oh, fuck, yeah, no, you really don't know. But thank you. So it's neat. I think people just get bored and they're willing to try anything.
I like it because, I mean, you never know what you can learn by somebody's either mistake or humor, you know?
Well, I've learned
it's good
that,
entertainment.
Yeah, I've learned that L.A., like, this is... Like, because we're both comedians, and you've moved around, and we'll get into that. This right. is going to kind of lead into that. You know, you've talked about going to L.A. and New York and shit, and kind of talking about, like, if you're a comic, you don't... Like, you kind of have one of two places to go, New York, L.A., if you want to keep it going. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what I've heard from people that I know that went out there recently, and then, like, listen to the Nerdist podcast, like Chris Hardwick, because he talks to, you know, a shit ton of stand-up comedians and Bensons and... Thing Marrows, but like LA is kind of a shitty place to go to get stage time unless you already have a name. Like, you can't just go out there and just start like getting on stage. Like, it's hard, or at least at the good places, the places where it means something.
I think it's gonna be hard wherever you go. I think people are gonna give an excuse to like not put in the work as much, but like LA is hard.
Yeah,
I kind of got lucky through a friend of mine. I was able to like tell a friend of mine that I was in LA and they were looking for a comedian at the time when I opened for Ian Edwards.
Oh, nice.
That which was just out of pure luck because if you haven't seen the video, it's on YouTube and the material was just terrible. I was too high. I got too high on weed and coffee to try and balance it out. And it was just, I rushed it. And I think I offended the shit out of like half the crowd telling pussy jokes. And it was like all women.
Oh, nice. Dude,
great experience.
I walked six people my second show ever. Like the second official show that I did. I walked six people at the end of my set. And I was like, are you fucking serious?
Man, do you know what you said?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, here's the thing. I just can't rush up on the mic like that. I think I just had feedback. Something just happened in my head. I'm really high, though. I before the show, I saw this lady come in, and she had a little girl with her, and I was like,
oh, shit.
How old are you? And she's like, oh, no, she's with me, and we're doing it for a charity. But this is like, I'm only 6 months in, maybe 4 months in, so like... I don't have a lot of material. All my material at this point is dirty, you know, when you first start out.
Dick jokes.
Yeah.
Everything you know.
And my closer was this joke where I say, a girl wants me to come in her mouth, come in her pussy, and come in her ass. And, like, I say those words exactly, like, in that order, like, except I've done this big build-up to it where, like, I'm all, oh, she's so nice, and we're flirting, and then all of a sudden she says that shit to me, and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, like...
The vulgar.
Oh, dude, it's so... But it gets a big hit. It's fucking hilarious bit. But as, like, right before I'm about to do it, I look over at the lady and I'm like, do you want to cover her ears or leave or something? And she just looked at me and I was like, all right, I fucking warned you. And, like, the whole crowd was like, oh, and I did the joke. And as soon as my set was over and the host was coming up on stage, they got up and walked out and three more people in the back that my buddy had to tell me about, they got up and walked out too.
I had I was at an open mic at Cafe Hay one Thursday, and there was a big family in there. It was like a table full of like little girls, And I, before I even did my set, I looked at the mom and I was like, is this going to be okay? And she was like, yeah, they've been pre-exposed. I was like, oh, well, I don't know if whether to say you're the greatest mom ever or the worst.
This is Danny. All right. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Like, I don't know. I did a show at a fucking pizza place in Largo, and there was some kids sitting right there in the front. And the guy who booked the show, I talked to the parents and was like, you know, hey, I'm going to have comedians. Like, I'm not going to tell them, you know. And they're like, no, don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. So I did my 10-minute hosting set just talking shit to these, like, 14-year-old kids. And the crowd loved it. The parents loved it. Like, I did one joke up front. And then I was just like, hey, you little shit, don't ignore me. And he kind of didn't look up. And I'm like, hey, you little fucker, you're the only little kid here. Don't fucking pay attention to me. And I started, like, cursing him, and everybody started laughing. And that, like, at one point, I even took his phone. I was like, dude, you know what your parents said? We could say whatever we want to you. Do you know what that means? They don't give a shit about you. Like, oh, the crowd loved it, dude. I abuse kids every chance I get at an open mic or a show.
I think some children need that harshness in their life. They need it very early.
All right, so we just had a guest show up. Danny Figueroa is here now. Say hi, Danny.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Danny.
Danny's another local comedian. Oh, I don't even think I've said the name of the podcast yet. We just kind of start talking, and then Will brings us in, and it just kind of goes from there. This is my mom's favorite podcast.
That's what that's for, right?
Yeah, we did a little intro, but once you start listening, I never actually said it, I don't think. But yeah, me and Danny are doing a show next Thursday, the 12th, at the local 662 in St. Petersburg to benefit homeless veterans.
Fun little fundraiser we got going.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Pretty cool night. You're going to have some Nintendo, some karaoke, some comedy.
Probably some drugs. They're veterans, man. They get that good shit.
They need it.
I love prescription only, of course.
Oh, of course.
Filled by a licensed medical practitioner.
Yeah.
I just want to say that Dr. Krieger line, like, I'm a doctor. No, I'm definitely a doctor.
I love when you can just slide in the plug-in so smoothly.
Yeah,
I've done that like multiple times now. Yeah. It sounds good.
Yeah, it was just a very abrupt, there it is.
Feel so left out. You guys got like mic stands and headphones and stuff.
Well, you have a mic. You'd have to kind of come sit on my lap.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, could we switch? How far would this one go over that way? It won't.
No,
all
it's
right.
Fine. Just hold it in my hand like I'm a plebe.
You get whatever. Short little arm. I don't know what a plebe is. I'm old.
I don't know what that
you
word
should,
is.
It's an old word.
No, what I got nothing.
What is that? What
like
does that mean?
Like peasant in like Roman times.
Oh, wow. That's a really old word. How old do you think I am, man?
I don't know, like 1500, something like that.
That would be amazing. I am Wolverine. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I don't know
can
why
we,
I moved
can
it.
Can we cuss on this thing?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I was going to say fucking plebe, but I was like, wait, I don't know. I just walked in and...
No, we can definitely fucking cuss. I can't cuss on Will's, which is why I don't go on Will's much.
Yeah, you can't, but you do. Always.
I don't think I did the first time.
No, you didn't. You were pretty good the first time.
No, a couple weeks ago, though. I caught it at like... The last G of fucking. I was like, fucking. Yeah.
This is good for me to know because I'm doing that in like an hour and I didn't know that before. And I guess a lot.
I told Joe because Joe was asking about you, like, does he curse a lot? I'm like, oh yeah, he curses really bad. He's a goddamn sailor. And he was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, yeah, I didn't feel like editing that because it's easy, but you have to know how to use the software in order to do it. And I'm not a techie
reader.
Guy
yeah.
And yeah, reader either. I looked at a YouTube video, so I know how to do it, but it's just a pain in the ass, man. You gotta go. And
by the way, this is my producer Will talking, the guy who's in charge of the quality of my show.
You're
saying right
stellar
now that
at...
he does know but he doesn't know.
Yeah,
stellar.
Oh, I have no idea what I'm doing, definitely at all. But yeah, so I just didn't really want to edit that, so I was like, there might be a, I think I got it in time, but James may have in fact dropped a naughty term. I don't know for sure. I knew it was there, but I was like, I think I got it. And he was like, all right. I don't think he wanted to edit either. So he was like, eh, just let it go.
But yeah, what if the cussing just means they're speaking passionately?
Doesn't matter. Unfortunately, there's FCC regulations that we try to follow. We don't really have to, but...
So yeah, I was going to say, aren't you... But you're on the internet, though, right?
Right, right. So we can get away with that, but also it's... We still just try to follow
I think because yours is a little bit more family-themed than mine is.
I wouldn't say that.
Not family, but maybe informational-wise, like the common... maybe not the person that wants
digestible.
To hear somebody go fuck a million times.
Yeah, we just try to not say so many naughty words, that's all. But yeah, I wouldn't
quit
say it's family.
Quit calling them naughty words. Just
I like that better.
I feel like you're just... I don't feel like when you say naughty... Well, I guess contextually you could be saying fucking, but I feel like that's more like cock and...
Balls, all of them, just all wrapped up.
Pussy,
all the
those are
words.
Naughty words.
I just hear like when you say naughty words, I'm picturing like erotica, like
yeah,
not vulgar, not being like.
No, I feel like
fucking
somebody's like you're being naughty right now. You need to stop, Timothy, you're being naughty.
$5 box. Those are naughty words.
My headphones.
No, I think you're fine.
Do you need to turn your
headphones.
Snare down, Eminem?
I don't know. Look, you missed the Eminem conversation. We already had that. Wow.
I never even finished that story.
Oh,
that I got into.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot of things, man. You know what we did do? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I feel bad.
Danny's looking all sad.
Naughty things.
James, what time do you want to play your topics game?
Do you guys want to do, like, it's more of like an optional thing. Oh, I forgot about my segment, though. How much time do I have left?
You got, how long do you want? I was thinking an hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you got about 40 minutes then.
Okay.
What's the topics game?
The topics game is I think I only did like four. I have like four topics in here, just folded up on a piece of paper and randomly at some point if we want. It not necessarily have to, but I do have a segment I want to do. But you just pick it in and we just talk about whatever I decided to write down today.
Yeah, let's get some fucking formatting going.
No, there's no format. Dude, I don't want to be all restricted,
structure.
Man. I know, man. Yeah. Fuck all that. I showed up here on time. That was good for me.
Man, I was punctual as fuck.
Oh, did you remember what I told you to bring? My segment, I invented it last week on the first one, and I'm going to keep it going. I call it Who's Your Bob? And Bob stands for Bitch on Blast. So who do you want to put on blast? Male, female, famous, not famous, fictional, just any person. Last week we all did, me and Will both did local people, put their first and last names out there just for being a bitch. Male, female, famous,
Wait,
not
I didn't
famous.
Listen. Who is on blast? Let's recap.
I could say more about this person because there's been some new developments.
Holy shit. Wait, now I went, yeah, let's
wait,
do this.
Did he hear about
let's
you putting
blast
him on blast?
Some bitches.
No, he didn't.
All right, well, let's you guys first. You're the guest. Devin, who's your bitch on blast?
Am I allowed to talk about like a whole class, like a class as a whole?
This is only the second one, so yeah, we'll let you do that. We'll see how it feels.
I mean, I just want to call out the bitches that make excuses for not getting what they want to achieve done, because I see too much and hear too much of the people that want to get shit done, but the talking doesn't outweigh the action.
You mean they just run them? They never actually try to put effort into their dreams and goals.
Exactly, laziness, man. I appreciate it, but at some point you got to realize where it's like I got to do some shit if I really want to.
All right,
bitches.
Devin, you go by Alexander or Pickett?
Alex. I mean. It's my whole name. Like
yeah.
Alexander's just my middle name, and
so
I thought
you really
it sounded,
put yourself out there.
I thought all it right. sounded cool. Two first names on stage. I don't know.
See,
I smoke a lot of weed.
That's become apparent. all right, so your bitch on blast is whiny bitches. That's a pretty good one. I like that one.
That was very noble. It seemed
yeah.
like very. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of like not in the mean spirit of the way the game was intended.
I know, but Will's totally sounds like it was, and I'm really excited to hear about it.
I want
to
hear the gossip of the city. All right,
well, hold on. Well, first, now we're going to do Danny. Who's your
bitch on blast? Who's
your bitch
on blast? Pass on to
Will
because I want to hear this.
Well, get to it.
Well, while he tells his story, I'll think about mine. You can't just come. I just walk in, you drop this bitch on blast thing on me. I'm not ready for this.
My bitch on blast, real quick, and then we'll get to Will's story, is this week I'm going to put Donald Trump as my bitch on blast just because it really seems like he's calming down in this presidential race, and I need him to step his shit up because I just wrote a great Donald Trump joke, and I really want to be able to use it for a while. So he needs to start pumping some crazy back in to make that into a nice longer bit. So Donald Trump, you are my Bob, my bitch on blast. Step your fucking game up.
Bring some more racial slurs.
Like, yeah, quit falling into that category that Devin Pickett was talking about. You want to be known as the craziest candidate ever? Put some effort into it.
You got to be a full-blown racist if you're going to be a racist,
right?
Okay?
Quit tiptoeing around the issues. Give me some material, you piece
you
of
do
shit.
Do like a presidential candidate edition of Bob's. Like, which presidential candidate do you want to call
out? That could
just
be the Bob is just the presidential candidate. All right, well, so remind me of your guy's name. Do a brief recap from last week to catch Danny up, and let's put him on blast again. So, the first ever back-to-back bobber.
So this is Brentwood from Brentwood Photography. He owns a studio. He's been getting a lot of press.
Oh, wasn't his last name really douchey, too? Brentwood?
Clinton. I think his name's Clinton.
Clinton
and
Brentwood.
His last name's Brentwood.
Oh, that's right. That's so douchey.
So, so this
name.
Guy, too, like why he was on 2 weeks ago was because he moved his gallery from some place to another place. And it happened to have an Aurelius mural on it. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but he's a muralist around town. And he put a thing on Facebook saying that it was ugly and he didn't like it. And he wanted something that was colorful and fun that described him. And this guy, I described him as a straight faggot is the best way I could describe him. He's really something else. But anyway, so an update to that was I saw Aurelius posted on Instagram today. He had defaced, well, I can't say he, allegedly defaced the mural and put a bunch of hearts and like love, not war, like literally verbatim on the mural and totally... Fuck the guy's mural.
That's not cool, man.
So nobody knows if it's him for sure, but if he didn't do it, he had somebody that he knew that did it, and that was a really shitty thing to do. So he's my bitch on blast again this week, and probably will be next time too. He sucks, man. He is the fucking worst. I love to hate him. Like everyone's like, you spend because I send stuff like I see on Facebook to people, and they're like, you got to stop. You're obsessed, and I was like, you're right. I am obsessed, but I really enjoy hating him. So I'm going to continue to do so. I don't consider it a waste of time.
What do you mean by, like, straight faggot? Does he got, like, a girlfriend and then he fucks dudes
no.
on the side? Like,
no.
Back
he,
door?
Like, we talked about this last week. It's, like, the most
he has
gay
pictures.
Heterosexual you can think of.
I'll show you a picture of him. I'll pull it up and show you. Because he like, dyes his beard blue and calls himself a merman.
Oh.
And he takes pole dancing classes. Just
for the
really
workout.
Gay shit. Yeah, for the workout. It's just gay.
For the workout?
Like, it's not anything... it's cool if you want to do that.
Right.
Don't get me wrong here. Like, but I think that gays should take offense to what he's doing because he's giving them a bad name.
I didn't realize that
dude,
blue beards and pole dancing classes were like staples of the gay community.
They're not, which makes it even
yeah,
worse.
Exactly.
Like, even gay people
right.
are like, bro, turn it down a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, you're being a fag. Knock it off. So this is the fella here. And as you can tell, he's a very colorful young man.
He looks
so,
old.
He looks like a bear.
His eyes match his beard.
He has a receding hairline like halfway the back of his head. How old is he?
He's got to be in his at least mid-30s, probably late 30s. And this is a guy who talks about spreading positivity and love, and he's a fucking phony.
And he defaced someone's mural?
Yeah. Yes.
That's shitty.
Hypocrite.
Yes. I'm from New York, man. You tag over someone's graffiti. That's
war, bro.
Yeah, that's not going to end well for you.
He looks like a 45-year-old hipster when he has, like, the mustache curls. He's a horrible person.
He looks like he's trying too hard to be an artist.
He certainly is. He tries very, very hard, yes. And can I don't know if you guys are interested very much, but I can read you some of his status updates, which are really hilarious.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's
hold on. We're just not turn the
Put
podcast.
Put him on blast. No, let's keep it going.
Yeah,
this is juicy. I like this.
I am
shit.
Obsessed. I am obsessed. I'll just
and
read
also,
you one.
It's giving me more time
to think. And then we'll move on.
We're going to give Will one, and then Jesus.
I
want
think
this.
We need at least three. We need
is,
to get like a sample.
No, one, and then you're on fucking, you're on the ball there, Skippy.
Oh, shit. Now I got to pick a really good one.
Let's do a top three.
This one was, and he steals jokes, by the way, from Twitter. He'll post status updates, not quotes or anything, and just push them verbatim, and then I Google them, and it's from somebody's Twitter. He does that as well.
A la Fat Jew.
Stay away from people who make you feel like you are hard to love.
That's
not that bad. There's
sounds
worse
like
ones.
That sounds like a...
Yeah, you need like a better one.
Inspirational poster. Danny, quit fucking stalling, man.
All right,
put your
barber
on blast.
I'll try to find
blast.
A good one in the meantime, and you guys.
All right, I'm gonna. I want to talk about the fact that Danny still wears jean jackets.
That is adorable.
With jean jackets.
Is that a real question?
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with them. They're effective. They get the job done.
Are you a hipster at heart?
I don't believe so. I don't. Aside from the fact that I have a jean jacket on, I don't know if I qualify. I mean, I do live in Seminole Heights.
Those jeans are pretty tight, bro. Yeah.
Is it hot like when you wear that? Does it feel like it makes you?
No, it's just. It's hot. I just always wear like a flannel or a jean jacket because it's always freezing at my job.
See, I like the cold though. Where are you from down here?
No, I'm from New York. I just said that like.
What part?
Did you say that today?
Ago. Yeah.
I don't remember.
What part?
I'm from the Bronx.
Oh, no shit. That's the part that I haven't braved to step in yet. I met sorry to cut you off. I met a comedian up there at Stand Up New York, this Puerto Rican, like, black guy. This new comedian. He was young. He was, like, 19. Had just went up and did a joke about how stereotypical black girls don't have dads. And this big-ass dude from the Bronx, just a Puerto Rican black motherfucking pit bull, walks on stage.
He
and he's
keeps
just
saying
like,
that like it's the same thing. Like, yeah. There's not a difference.
Dude, this guy was intimidating.
I think he might have been Dominican.
Yeah.
I think you're confused.
Say it like that. It's easier.
All he did was went on stage and said, you know that girl you were talking about? He was like, I'm her father. Oh. And that's it. And it was so tense in the room. It was great. There was, like, nobody but comedians.
Dude, why? There's been a lot of, like, violence in comedy lately. Like, the videos that were all over Facebook for a little while ago, like the one black comedian just started ragging on that dude's wife and the dude came up on stage and, his boys jumped him and then...
I saw that.
There was that other one where, like, some drunk old white dude started walking up towards the stage and the fucking dude on the mic just, like, front kicked him. Like, he's a fucking trying to kick in a door and just...
That was gnarly, though.
And wasn't there some Tampa beef between some guys talking shit or something?
Oh, yeah, but they had, like, a joke battle and or
yeah, they
bet whatever.
Like a grand
they
on
had,
something.
Like, yes, that, what was it, that kid Kevin Bustani or whatever his name is. I don't know. Fuck that guy.
Is that your bitch on blast?
That is my bitch on blast.
All right, so.
Because we were doing an open mic.
Only had to stall for 40 minutes, but go ahead.
I had another one, but I think he's more relevant right now. Right. And more people who listen to this might know who he is. So
Nobody listens.
Yeah. That's why we can cuss, because it doesn't matter if anybody can hear you. We were doing a show at Aviators in Clearwater, and I respect, like, even if I don't like your style or whatever, I respect generally the work everybody puts in to, you know, trying to work on material and getting up on stage.
Right. Assuming they're not one of Devin's bitches and they don't, you know, but if they do the work, then
yeah. Yeah, you know, especially the dudes who are out there like 5 nights a week grinding, you know, and working on stuff, coming up with, you know, tweaking
podcasts.
Their jokes every time. And but he's not that guy. And he doesn't even have, like, the smallest amount of respect for anyone else. He was having a conversation on his phone, standing in front of the stage during my set and a few other people's sets.
Should have kicked him in the head.
And then, I thought, like, I was like, okay, I need to, like, rip into this guy. But I was in the middle of a bit, and I was like, okay, I'm at a point where if I go after him right now, there's not going to really be an easy way back to where I am. So I can either sacrifice my joke to, you know, to go at him, or I could just ignore him for a second and keep doing my own thing.
Right.
And then give him hell a couple weeks later on a podcast. So that's what I chose to do. He did like the worst crowd work ever. Like, you know, crowd work, you're supposed to try to engage the audience. He just went up to, like, an old black couple that were clearly more reserved and starts yelling in their face about abortion.
Oh, that's... I heard about that guy.
Yeah, like, that's not funny. And then my favorite part was Alan Canning.
All right, real quick, while Will's not in the room, let's all talk shit about him. Will's a bitch on blast.
Everybody put Will on blast.
Put Will's on blast. All right, no, Alan Canning.
So Alan Canning, during this kid's set, because he just, like, got off the stage and went into the crowd and starts talking to people... and like, but just like shitty things. And he was like, what do you want to hear a joke about? And then one guy was like, bombs, like your material. And then he started going at this one couple about abortion. And I was like, I just can't take this shit. And I left. But before I did, Alan Canning jumps on the stage and grabs a mic. And he just goes, yo, you're doing it wrong. And he fucking totally called him out in front of everybody. And it was priceless.
At least somebody did.
There's been a lot of people. And we're kind of talking about this last night. Like, I don't know, I didn't get too involved with it last night. But I'll get a little involved in the podcast. Like, a lot of people lately have been coming out. And they're not really treating it like an art or like a craft. Like, they're just kind of coming out and letting shit fall out of their mouth. Yeah. And it's like everybody's trying to be edgy or alternative. And I know some of the funniest people in the world don't curse. Brian Regan doesn't curse at all.
Not on stage, anyway.
Not on stage. I heard him on the podcast. That was great. But he's fucking hilarious.
His new special was awesome. He shot it live in New York at Radio City Hall.
There's also a difference between like getting up on stage and riffing on a topic that you have some sort of idea about, or having the chops after doing this for a while to get up and be able to riff on things and have it be funny, and just you thinking like something that happened in your day made you chuckle, and then you get on stage and talk about it. Like, that's not putting work, that's not trying, that's
right,
just...
Like, even if, like, a lot of what you do is storytelling, because, like, I think I do more storytelling. Like, I'm definitely not a one-liner guy.
Oh, me too. Not at all.
So, like, even if I'm telling a story, I don't just sit there and go, well, you know, this part's like, all right, well, where's the audience? Like, I can't tell them 2 minutes of story to hit a 10-second punchline. Like, I gotta... All right, where can I make this or the audience is still coming in? And I'll sit down, I'll write it and rewrite it. Like, I got a notebook with fucking a sociopath's handwriting all through it because it's all tiny. Oh, kind of like Devin Pickett's. All right.
Yeah, another sociopath. My handwriting is terrible, man.
Yeah, yours is a little bit sloppier, but I can read your letters. Mine looks neat because it's really tiny and it's all capital, but it's some people have a little trouble deciphering some of the words.
And, you know, funny isn't like a universal thing. It's very subjective. So
right.
I know that there are people who I perform with who I might not necessarily find funny, but some people do. One, and two, they're putting work in, and so I respect that, and I respect their time on stage, and I'm not going to be on my phone during their set, especially not in their fucking face.
Right.
You know?
That's rude.
Not having a conversation right in front of the stage. And I said something to him about it afterwards. And he was like, I got a lot of shit going on, man. And I'm like, we all do.
Are you
like,
fucking
go
kidding
the
me?
Fuck outside.
Right? Yeah, I was running a mic one time, and this lady like answers her phone, and I stopped mid-joke, and I was just like, hey, ma'am, are you on your phone? I don't want to interrupt your phone call with my microphone and my jokes and my speakers. And she just kind of looked at me, and I was like, I'll wait for you to go outside. Don't worry. And she started like ambling. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no. My fault. I don't want to interrupt your phone call with this prearranged stage, you know, and just like.
I think we've all done that from time to time, but it's different when like you have an unruly audience member and when it's another comedian who's just being a fucking.
It's just
dick.
Another.
Yeah, he's weird. I have a funny story about him, man. When I was in New York and that whole beef shit was going on with him and Vinny, he messaged me. It was like asking me, trying to talk to me about his whole idea of comedy. And I really wasn't, I didn't give a shit. Like, I don't personally know you well enough to give you like advice. So, I mean, I'm just saying, if you really want it, go after it. But he ends up talking to me about how he's going to do a nationwide open mic tour because that's going to be the best way for exposure. And I was like, you
was
got that wrong.
Was that the best way for it? Like,
I was like, you got that wrong. Exposure, that's not what stand-up's about. It's not about exposure. Like you said, James, the art is lost in formatting words and setting up before you even hit a punchline. Like, just don't know how you can even think that's same.
Well, me and Danny are very lucky in the fact that the show that we're doing this next Thursday, November 12th, at the St. Pete Local 662 for charity is very funny.
$3 minimum donation or two canned goods will get you in.
All proceeds go to benefit the homeless veterans. 100%. Yep. So homeless veterans get some help. But the show that we're doing that day, was so smooth. All the comics on there are very funny people and not at all douchebags. So yeah. Well, except for that guy, James Bailey. He's kind
of he might make fun of you.
Yeah, I'll admit it. I can be douchey from time to time.
Well, you know, when I put that show together and when I was putting it together, I, you know, wanted people on who I thought were funny and or hardworking and put something into this community themselves. And, you know, people I knew would enjoy the opportunity to give back to another community and also maybe able to get something out of doing a, you know, a real show and a you know, not the the typical kind of open mic work that we usually do with the, you know, rare show here or there. Mm-hmm. You know, because the little amount of time, sorry, I'm trying to think of what to say. I'm clearly really good at this. You know, the small amount of time I've been doing, I've been in this comedy scene, it's been pretty good to me. So I want to try to give back to that scene and to those people who have been good to me, you know, whatever way I can. And that was, you know, booking this show and trying to do it for a good cause, you know, not just helping out homeless veterans, which is a major problem in right. this country. We have, you know, almost 50,000 homeless veterans in this country, and that's, you know, that's a modest estimate. You know, so being able to give back to that community as well as being able to give back to the comedy community that's been good to me in the last, you know, 6 months or so.
Now, did you serve? Are you military?
No, I did not. I unfortunately have some issues that prevented me from serving.
Was it your height?
But no. That's a great thing to say on an audio podcast, by the way. Make fun of my height, which no one can see.
He's 4'3".
Almost as tall as Hervé Villachez.
How long have you been doing stand-up for?
Not long, just about that. Like I was a writer, and I did like spoken word stuff.
Okay,
but comedy to me,
oh, you are a hipster.
For a long time,
you son of a bitch, you tricked me.
comedy to me for the longest time was like something that I put on a pedestal. Like to me, it was always the highest form of art, and I never thought that I had what it took to do it. So I kind of got in my own head and prevented myself from getting involved despite mm-hmm. my love for the craft.
Right.
And then I finally, you know, I was having issues at my job. I was about to get fired. I'd recently gotten out of a relationship and shit was going real bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was finally in the mindset where I thought I was, you know, sad enough to be funny. And I finally hated my life enough where I was like, fuck it, I'll just get on a stage. So
that's
I started.
When you get like honest with yourself is when shit just starts pumbling.
Yeah, and I figured, you know, this is something I always wanted to do. What better, you know, what better time than now? I'm not getting any younger. Like, if, you know, and what do I have to lose, you know?
Right.
I get up and I do it, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And, you know, if I like it, I know I'll put the energy and effort into it. And honestly, listening to podcasts helped me too, because I got
Definitely
to listen
does.
To a lot of comedians that I like talk, like Richard Lewis, a guy who's been doing this for like 40 years, talk about bombing in the last like decade. So 30
oh,
years
yeah.
into his career, he's like bombing at like, you know, 1,500 seat rooms.
Yeah,
and it's like, if they can do it, then, you know, why can't I just get up on stage at an open mic, and if I'm not good, I'm not good, but I know I'm going to put the work in.
Right.
That's kind of like
all that matters, man. You got a great idea.
That's almost literally how I started was, well, my dad was a comic.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he passed, some of his friends, like I'd been talking to him about me doing it before he passed, but I was chicken to do it basically. Like it was like a fear of like, what if I am good? What if I have to like work at this? And he passed and his friends were like, just do it, just do it. And I'm like, and they're like, why don't you just come to an open mic? Just sit and just watch. Don't even sign up the first week. And I went the first week and I saw all these horrible open mic comics just like set after set of just failure. And I'm like, oh, well, these guys are horrible. And if they can do it, then yeah, I can do that shit. And that's fucking next week I was there with a little set list and bombed my ass off and still bomb every now and again. But
I got into it in a really weird way. I got...
Nobody asked you. I'm sorry.
Nobody asked you either.
No. Damn it.
Well, it's my show, and I was really mad at Devin earlier for asking you. I was like, I'm not... Hey, I would have asked that, bitch. It's my show. I asked the question.
Hey,
so,
it's a conversation, man. We're all friends here.
Yeah, that's exact. Like, there's no structure. It's conversation. See, isn't that
Let's
better, Danny?
Let's
so
talk,
like I
yeah.
was saying, go
it's
ahead,
all,
Devin.
It's all love. It's all love here. on your mom's podcast.
So, Devin, how did you mom's get involved in podcast. Stand-up comedy?
I will fucking kill you.
It's actually a really funny story, okay? I almost died, pretty much.
Hilarious.
I got a prostate infection that was pretty serious, and...
nothing about this is
life
funny.
Life started pummeling, and you know the easiest way to get out of it was being honest with myself, and was like, I could either sit here and hate myself because I developed something that I had no control over, or I could smoke some weed and write a joke about it. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. That's honestly that's another thing that led to me doing comedy is because I was in the hospital for like a month. And got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that, like, completely changed my life.
Right.
And so, you know, things just started being put into perspective. And, you know, I kind of, you realize your mortality, and it's just like, fuck it. Go
yeah,
for it.
It is.
Dude, dead, prostate infection, immune deficiency order. Like, yeah, we've all gotten to comedy for really sad reasons, and it's fucking amazing what it does for you, like, your insides.
I've talked about this on stage. There's someone in this scene who's gone on stage a few times and talked about like comics starting to like meet women or something like that. And I don't know a single comic that I've met, you know, in my time doing comedy or in my time just as a fan and student of comedy that got into comedy because they were trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Everybody I know who started doing comedy was just like shitty and felt like they wanted to die. And this was better than killing themselves.
I think it's the honesty too. And then it's something where it takes you so far out of your comfort level where it's like, oh, this is actually nice. I don't have to feel what I was feeling earlier. This kind of feels worse, but better at the same time.
It's weird.
It's a thrill.
It is. You know? It is.
And I'm too much of a pussy to cut myself, so I'll take it.
I've done so many different drugs, like pretty much everything except for GHB. I've never shot heroin or snorted it, but I've done ecstasy pills with it in it. And what's the other? There's one other drug. Oh, I don't think I've smoked crack.
I don't think.
Well, I was doing a bunch of blows, smoking weed and drinking one night, and somebody handed me a pipe, and I assumed it was just coke, which basically it was free basing, so it was, you know, without the baking soda and that little extra effort. And then afterwards, I was like, you know, I think that person might have smoked crack, so I wonder if he just handed me, and I just wasn't even paying attention looking at some broad.
Sometimes you party and accidentally smoke crack.
Things happen, man.
You know? Were you trying to, like, find something when you were doing drugs, or was it just, like, something that was a thrill ride as well, or something
to do? It was, like, a combination. Like, I don't drink right now. I don't know if I think you guys know that, but I don't drink because, like, I have a very addictive personality.
Right.
And I think, like, when I started doing drugs and, like, I was in Wisconsin. I was so young. And I didn't meet my dad till I was 14. And I was just trying to find, like, something.
Right.
And the people that I was hanging out with, that's what they were doing. And were the ones accepting me. And I was having fun. Like, I used to be able to drink, go out, have a couple beers, have a good time, be fine. Mm-hmm. But eventually, at some point in my life, it just did turn to the point where I was drinking, you know, 18, 24 beers a night. And that's... Like, if I'm at my house not doing anything, I needed at least a 12-pack. Anything less than a 12-pack, I was going to hit to the store, probably was going to do it anyway.
Shit.
Like, I'd stay up for 2-3 days at a time doing blow. I'd fucking drop acid for 3 nights straight. I'd fucking eat ecstasy for a whole weekend. I'd sold drugs. Anything that was like, this guy's not a good role model, that's what I was doing at the time. None of it felt good. Comedy feels amazing.
Right. I feel... the same as well, because I mean I haven't done anything like crazy hardcore, but I've definitely like experienced like psychedelic.
Well, you're only like 12, so
DMT,
give it time.
I mean, I don't know, the psychedelic drugs I've done are kind of enough. Like, I saw fucking God on mushrooms, and DMT was just out of this world. I pretty much died and was reborn.
Yeah, see, that's one I won't do DMT for that. Have you never heard that joke then? Have you heard that joke that I do about DMT?
Yes. I've heard you do it.
Yeah. Somebody, like, that's literally what dude tells me. He's like, you'll experience death. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. No.
I think it did something to my comedy where it turned it into, like, honesty. Because there was a thing when I first start. You know, they say when you first start, it's kind of like you do what you know. And at the time, my favorite comedian was Mitch Hedberg. And I was doing him. And when I did DMT, it was almost like... you're not being like honest with yourself. Like you gotta get real.
Yeah, just be you.
Right.
That's well. I mean, there's all those people in like you know that that travel to South America now to do like ayahuasca.
That and shit's
shit
crazy.
To have like emotional revelations and life changing trips.
They say it cures addiction. Like heroin
and
addicts
also to throw up and shit themselves constantly.
They call it the purge drug.
I kind of want to. I kind of at some point in my life want to go to Thailand and do a shot of cobra venom. But other than that, I'm and
shot
I don't know why.
Of cobra venom. That's
yeah.
A thing?
They do that shit
you
over
get
there.
Get fucking anything in Thailand, huh?
It's fucking amazing. But I want to go try that. Just that's it. We got 10 minutes left. Why don't you guys, Devin, go ahead and grab a topic out. Let's see what we got, and then we'll take a quick look at this, and then we'll do some promoting. I've only got four in there because
I really hope it's what I was thinking about. Shit.
What were you thinking about?
It's definitely not who should be president.
Oh, yeah, out of our...
Like Donald Trump. Did you write Donald Trump like four times and put it in?
No, I should have.
Oh.
No. It's just a who do you think should be like
should
out
be
of president. Trump?
So who are you voting for?
Well, I'm not voting.
Why aren't you voting?
I can't.
Oh, because you're a felon?
Yes.
Must feel nice.
I can't vote, don't have a gun. I probably don't
Which
need
is
a gun.
Stupid. That needs to that's a law that needs to change.
Well, like I think I can like get my voting rights back or whatever, but I can honestly say that I don't care enough and I don't watch enough, like, and I don't study the issues.
Well, you
I don't
should.
Keep up enough with I don't do it enough to vote. Like if I went out and voted now, it would just be like this guy's a lesser douchebag. I wouldn't know any. You know what I'm saying?
You
so like,
it's important. And I know a lot of people talk shit about the voting process in this country, and it's not perfect. But your vote does matter, and your vote does count. Especially the smaller the election, the fewer votes, you know, can change.
I've never had an interest in that, and I've tried to follow it. I've tried to pit. I've never had an interest in politics, so I'm not... Like, I'm not going to be somebody that just goes out and votes based on how what I think I'm a Democrat or I think I'm a Republican or whatever. Like, if, I don't know, maybe one day if I really felt like it, don't fucking judge me.
What about when it comes to weed? I bet you'll vote for that shit.
Because I'm very informed on the topic of
right,
weed.
Exactly.
Like, but it's not hard to get, like,
foreign
informed
policy.
Enough to be able to formulate some sort of opinion where you can then make an at least educated guess as to
just,
who you want to lead. It's better like, having
just
some say than
judge
no
me.
Say
just
at
let
all.
Me live my life.
This just
let
became a presidential intervention.
Right?
don't fucking judge me.
So, like, was that question based on, like, the election going on now or just anybody
yeah.
in the world?
Who should be
no,
president?
That was out of the choices that we have now.
I'm going to go with Kanye. I think he's a pretty good candidate.
Kanye 2020.
No. God, no.
That I think he was just high at that award show and just
I
was
will.
Blurting shit
Like,
out.
I know a lot of people talk shit, but I would move to Canada. Like, I would be out.
Did you see, have you seen his fashion line? It looks like slave clothing.
I
like,
hate
Is
Kanye.
That what we're all going to wear in 2020? That's the future.
And it's probably $150 for a fucking burlap sack with two armholes cut out, a fucking head hole
So
ripped.
Why'd you put that topic in if you don't give a shit about it?
Because I knew it would spark something, and it did. We just wasted a good 7 minutes. Now we get to go to promos.
me yelling at you about not voting.
Am I the only one that's going to take a topic?
Yeah. Cool. We don't. We might not even have to do it, but how close are we to the... I don't know if we have time for another topic.
We've got about 6 minutes.
About 6 minutes. All right, we'll do one more. Danny, grab a topic.
Mm.
All right, we'll do one more, and then we'll do some shameless self-promoting and plugs.
Let's see, what do we got? Leah Remini... Ripping Scientology.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that?
Yo, I work, like, right down the block from, like, the Scientology headquarters. And that shit is weird. No, in Clearwater.
No,
that's,
shit.
Like, their
yeah,
national
their headboard. Yeah.
Oh, that's
headquarters.
The main thing.
Yeah, they own, like,
I'm ignorant
fucking,
to Scientology.
Dude, they own, like, 13 buildings down there. It's ridiculous.
Holy shit.
I used to work for them. Not for, like, the Church of Scientology, but I used to work for a Scientologist, like, very high-ranking members in Scientology from, like, the local area. They owned telemarketing rooms, and I've worked in, like, 3 or 4 different telemarketing
That's
rooms
crazy.
For them back
have
in
Have you guys seen the HBO documentary, Going Clear?
I want I to not. So bad.
It's all about Scientology, and it's made by former Scientologists.
One of the ladies in
crazy.
It, fuck, I can't remember her name. But one of the ladies in it, she's actually, like they say, she's from Dunedin, mm-hmm. and she used to be a high-ranking official. She used to be the CEO's personal assistant or the VP, maybe. She was a very high-ranking officer in the company I worked for. Like, I know her. I've had meetings with
it's
her when
crazy
I was a manager.
What they've been able to do in this country and how they've
Dude,
been able
everywhere.
To just, like, grab the IRS by the, because the IRS was going after him, mm-hmm. and then they just like grabbed the IRS by the balls and blackmailed the IRS.
Well, they're officially
they had, like,
a church.
Tax fraud, right?
Well,
thing
they're
going on.
They had something like that, but they're an organized religion, so right. they're in that tax bracket. And basically, they were just like, nope, we have this paperwork. We can't, you can't do this. Everything we say is this. It's all properly filed. Dude, so many people have went after them because
have you,
of...
Do you know, like, some of the things that Scientologists believe?
Not at all.
They believe that, like, basically,
Zunu
like...
Is coming to save us.
Like, an alien flew, like, a
he
bunch
went,
of people
he,
on, essentially,
well,
like,
he
a
captured
jet.
Souls, brought them to this world...
And then, like, threw them in a volcano.
Yeah, like, he had froze them, and then, but when they went in the volcano, they melted and the souls escaped, and that's what goes
you know,
into
the volcano,
us?
Like, erupted, and this, all the souls, oh, yeah. like, escaped, and yeah, and that where the souls are now in us, and we have to, like,
it's like if
fight
we,
the souls. It's fucking crazy.
Sounds like an acid trip.
Dude, fucking L. Ron
He was
Hubbard.
A science fiction writer.
He was a, yeah, he's a fucking Air Force pilot and failed science fiction writer. And like,
he, no, he was
failed.
A very prolific science fiction
See, I've
writer.
See, I've heard that his books weren't that good, but that somebody
I mean, that doesn't mean
the,
he's failed. There's
right.
a lot of good movies that
they were published,
fail
so that's
and a lot
success,
of bad movies
right?
Fair
that
enough.
Are successful.
Yeah, being published overall is good.
He was successful insofar as sustaining a career, whether
Dude,
or not
they're
he was
weird
any good
fucking
at it.
People.
I mean, he wrote Battlefield Earth, that shitty John Travolta movie that came out that's based on... L. Ron Hubbard book.
I just don't appreciate how they're like little minion peasants, like can't take no for an answer when I'm an E-war and they're trying to get me to like go
go
get
take
a personality
a stress
test and
go
shit.
Take a stress
no,
test.
No, I'm cool. Like, of course I'm going to be stressed out when yeah, I go there because you're pissing me off.
Dude, I had one slip me one so smoothly right before the Florida's Funniest competition. Uh-huh. Like, I was walking over, I'd gotten something, I was walking over to improv and like they're we're talking to each other. And I went to walk on the outside of them, and all of a sudden, the one was just like, here you go, and like, quick slip me the flyer as I was passing. And I like, I had it in my hand looking at it before I even realized what was going on. And then, like, some dude following like 6-7 feet behind her is just like, you can't do that. You can't. And he's just like yelling at her about the laws of fucking passing out flyers on the streets, like, just screaming
I pass
at
by that place every day on my lunch break.
Do
and
pray
every
to him?
Day, I want to go in. And see what it's like inside.
Just
they show you,
and
like
they
a
all walk around.
Right?
There are like hundreds and hundreds of them that walk around with like they all wear like these slacks and vests, and they look like they're stewardesses or something. Like they look
Slaves.
Like flight attendants.
Just don't get with fucking Scientology. That shit is crazy.
It's, it'll do wonders for your career.
Those
though.
People are so
great
so
for
weird.
The imagination as well. Like
yeah, it's just it's. Like watch that episode of South Park where they rip on it and like literally while they're like everything we just told you is on there and across the bottom of the screen they flash this is what they really believe and,
are you
like,
talking about the three-part Imagination Land episode
no it was
they have one on Scientology that's specifically on Scientology
it's the one that made Chef quit because Isaac Hayes was a Scientologist and fucking he quit because they ripped Scientology so bad in that episode. That's why he quit the show and they made him into a child molester.
I got to catch
so
up.
So on that note, we're going to do some shameless self-promoting. This, of course, was my mom's favorite podcast on Facebook page. And I'm comedian James Bailey on Facebook and James Bailey haha on Twitter.
Would you
and
say,
Devin?
Of course, this was that?
Yeah.
Because you didn't even say the name at the beginning.
I did.
So people could have been like...
No, I did. Remember,
along.
We talked about that when you got here.
Like
don't
20
interrupt
minutes
Devin.
In.
Yeah, they know what's up. They know what's good. All right, Devin... What do you got? To, what, promote yourself.
Yeah, Devin Alexander. You can find me on Twitter at Devin A. Pickett. That's about all I got going on for now.
Solid.
All right, Danny.
We got our fundraiser to benefit homeless veterans coming up November 12th at the local 662 St. Petersburg,
right.
662. Central Avenue.
John J. Murray's on that show.
John J.
Me,
Murray.
You.
Bunch of great local acts. We got a surprise special guest that's going to be really
Ooh.
Cool. I can't say who it is, but
oh, shit.
It's going to be a fun one, and it's one if you're in the comedy scene.
Donald Trump.
What day
gonna,
did you say it is?
It's Thursday, November 12th.
Okay.
And it's a $3 minute. We're not calling it a cover charge because it's a donation, 100%.
Right.
Of the profits go to some charities that work with homeless veterans. And so it's a $3 minimum donation. You can give $3, you can give $20, you can give as much money as you want. We'll gladly take it. It's going to a good cause, or you can bring 2 canned goods and get in that way. But it's going to be a real cool event. Doors are at 6:30. We're going to have the First United Church in Nintendo. They set up pretty much every generation of Nintendo system.
That's fucking awesome.
With like hundreds and hundreds of games.
But so that's that'll be turned off for the show, I hope.
Yeah, that's going to be going on before, between doors
because
and the show
starting.
Because
I wouldn't watch my set. I would play Nintendo.
Get somebody then, else to do it for me.
Yeah. No, I'll be over in a minute. Just tell him to hold the fuck on. I'm almost
I wrote dead. Jokes for him.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have about an hour and a half, 2 hours of comedy, and afterwards a little karaoke. So it's going to be
awesome.
A whole,
and
whole
I
thing.
Just, I just got next Friday off, so I'm going to stay and party all night hard while I pound back water after water.
Yeah. I'll definitely be there.
Awesome.
It should be a fun time.
All right, do you have a Twitter you want to...
I'm not really on Twitter.
Do you want people
much,
to follow you on Facebook?
At Danuscripts is my Twitter.
Danuscripts?
Yeah, like manuscripts, but with a D.
Oh, no, no.
Clever.
I got
my
it.
My name starts with a D.
Wordplay.
I got it. Letter name's Dan. Dan, yeah. Yeah, it's very clever.
Works.
It was better before you explained it, but yeah, it was good.
It works. No, I felt like that was needed. Just wanted to make sure it was understood.
He Clear. Did miss the you missed the story of one of my friends being like, oh, I listen to your podcast, and he's an older guy I work with. And I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, well, for about 15 minutes, but all you guys did was talk. I was waiting for something to happen. I was like, no, that's what happens. That's the whole kebang. But all right, so this was my mom's favorite podcast on the Homemade Broadcast Network.
This has been awesome.
Yay. This song's so fun. Can you hear the song, Danny?
Yeah.
This is a really good song.
People seen it, but they just don't know. People seen it, but they just don't know.